Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and as you've probably heard, 20 fire companies are set to close July 1st due to Mayor Bloomberg's budget cuts. 8 in Brooklyn, 4 in Queens, 3 in both the Bronx and in Manhattan, and 2 in Staten Island. The Bloomberg administration says that the cuts won't affect the FDNY's ability to serve the public, but not everyone is convinced. Here's Bronx Councilman James Vaca.
But this is playing Russian roulette because people have to understand that when response time goes up, that's life and limb, that's loss of property, that's public safety. There's no substitute for that reality.
So how will response times be affected if the city council doesn't restore funding ahead of the June 30th deadline? And how did the fire department and the mayor's office determine which companies to shutter? Journalist Joe Flood is here to explain the logic and how the mistakes made in the 1970s loomed large in the decision-making now. He's written a piece about this for New York Magazine, and he's the author of the book, The Fires, How a Computer Formula, Big Ideas, and the Best Intentions Burned Down New York City and Determined the Future of Cities. Welcome back to WNYC, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into it. Mayor Bloomberg is trying to save $55 million through these cuts. How did the fire department determine which companies would go on this list? Give us an example.
Well, what they did was compiled about 3 years' worth of response times, and they looked at the first three companies that arrived at any given fire or medical emergency. And they simply took the, whenever a company was the first to responder, and it took, say, 4 minutes and 30 seconds, they simply jumped back and looked at the next company to arrive, say, 5 minutes and 10 seconds. And that whatever that difference was, that 40-second delay or whatever between the first and second to arrive, that's what they consider the additional response time if they close that first due company.
All right. Well, it sounds very scientific, but let's ask a couple of follow-up questions. What about proximity? Was proximity to important sites a consideration, like if the station was next to a hospital or a natural gas tank or some such thing?
Well, it's interesting. They did, I just explained this sort of quantitative way of looking at the issue. And then what they did was they went to the borough commanders, to high-level chiefs and firefighters on the ground, fire officers on the ground, and asked them, they gave them an initial draft list and said, what's wrong with this list? Are there particular companies that have good access to a highway or, as you said, are close to a hospital or natural gas tanks or something like that that we should know about and then maybe we should take off the list and replace with a different company. Trying to sort of balance the analytic and the sort of anecdotal, I suppose.
Huh. And proximity to the World Trade Center site was not a special case, right? Because there are two companies in Lower Manhattan on the chopping block.
Yeah, that's true. Lower Manhattan does have a fairly, dense, there are a lot of companies down there. There are not a lot of fires and medical emergencies, although the problem is, of course, it's a major site for a potential terrorist attack. Also for big fires, you don't tend to have a lot of fires in those big high-rises, but when they do happen, they do tend to be very serious. These are the issues they had to face, and it's a tough balancing act. I mean, when you're talking about closing 20 companies, it's like 5-10% of the companies in the whole city. Mm-hmm. As the commissioner said, everybody's going to take a hit. Every area, every factor is going to be affected by this.
And for
tried to balance.
For our listeners, there is a link on our show page to a map of the firehouses slated for closure. So you can go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show to see how or whether you'll be affected. And Joe, as you say, response times are definitely going to increase in the districts where the companies are shuttered. Is there a way to tell by how much? What's the target time that's deemed acceptable?
Well, the fire department has a, they do an estimate for each one they close, based on, as I said, what the next arriving company at any given fire will be. The trouble with that is it's really difficult to say how accurate that'll be. For example, if you have fewer companies, each company is going to have to respond to more fires. And that means it's going to be more common for any given company to be out at another fire when a call comes in. So now you're talking about, you know, what used to be the third or fourth due company will now be the first due at a response. There's a lot of these factors that, you know, that go into this. One of the big differences between what this department did now and in the 1970s was then they used actually a more complicated modeling system that tried to factor in a lot of these things. What the department now seems to think is that the models get so complicated, it's so easy to get lost in the details that, you know, they're better off being more or less right than sort of precisely wrong.
With their fancy computer programs, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to ask you about the 70s in just a minute, but right now, this hasn't gone through. We want to be really clear about this. This is July 1st. We're looking ahead to July 1st, and obviously council members whose districts will lose a firehouse are not happy with these cuts. They're vowing to fight vociferously and restore FDNY funding ahead of the June 30th budget deadline. But what about this statement by Mayor Bloomberg?
Our firehouses, for example, were most of them were cited back in the days that fire engines were pulled by horses or by men. And today our population lives in lots of different places.
All right, Joe. I love that little bit of trivia there. And it sounds probably right. Once upon a time, the fire engines were pulled by horses. I can see that image. You know, I can cast my mind back to that day, or maybe even pulled by men. But how much truth is there to that statement? Are some firehouse locations so illogical at this point that it supports these closures?
Well, it's true enough that that's, you know, how most of these or many of these houses were originally, you know, sited and built. The problem is, though, I mean, you know, since that time, there were almost 50 companies were closed in the 1970s. You know, there were a few handful more closed in the 80s and 90s. There were five closed in the 2003. So, you know, that's been shaken out a little bit. The other thing is that the department, you know, that would be a good explanation for why the department would do a big, comprehensive, overall plan. Looking at, you know, population adjustments and shifts and why they might, you know, move around dozens of companies, really. It doesn't work out so well for, you know, why they're going to close 20 companies. I mean, that's a budget decision. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with, you know, where the companies are located. They're trying to close them as, you know, sort of efficiently as possible with the least impact. But this is a budget decision. You know, the fire department's been given a number they have to hit, and they're trying to do so, you know, with as little risk to life and property as they can. But this is a political and a budget decision, not a, you know, firehouse siting decision.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is journalist Joe Flood. He's here to help us understand the logic behind the decision to close 20 firehouses and which ones to close. And Joe, we have a comment from Ben in Park Slope, who says he lives there, and they have a firehouse on Union Street and another one on 11th Street, which they are closing. It's less than a mile away. I would much rather the city close the firehouse on 11th Street than lay off our teachers, says Ben in Park Slope. But Joe Flood, I'm not sure, given your last comment, that one thing would have to do with another. In other words, the FDNY budget, it sounds, is independent from decisions about education at this point, for purposes of this conversation.
Well, yeah, in a sense. I mean, by the same token, though, you know, when you're talking about budget cuts, everyone, you know, takes a haircut. So, you know, it's all coming out of the same general fund for the most part. So, you know, I think
from Mayor Bloomberg, from Mayor Bloomberg's perspective.
Right, exactly. You know, from the department itself, you know, each one kind of deals with its own issues. But, you know, I think it's a legitimate question as to, you know, where we need to make cuts. You know, how, I mean, the city isn't bringing enough money in to deal with its expenditures right now. And so, you know, where are those cuts getting made? What departments? And that's a big question. You know, certainly police and, or excuse me, fire and the Board of Education, they're very big cuts, and they've been the ones that seem to be on the public mind and city councilors' mind the most heavily. They're the most talked about and contentious cuts that the city's facing right now.
Right. Two separate issues, whether to cut FDNY at all, and now what we're talking about, once the cut is to be made, which firehouses to close and how to make that decision once the mayor has given the FDNY that $55 million number. Now, I want to come back to something you brought up just a moment ago. You did an extensive investigation about the fires in the 1970s, the era of the Bronx's burning. And that was the last time there were significant cuts to FDNY. Dozens over a five-year period were closed. But the method, as you just explained, for choosing which companies to close was fatally flawed. Can you give us a short version of that story?
Well, essentially, the city hired the RAND Corporation, a military think tank out of California, to come in and sort of do really what the city has done with things like CompStat, things like that in more recent years, but sort of a very early version, you know, kind of taking the city and trying to quantify as many civic functions as the government performed as possible and figured out how to most efficiently do them. The fire department was where the studies had the most traction. And eventually what came down the road was, you know, as the city started to slide into fiscal crisis, you know, 1975, it goes all but bankrupt. Leading up to and during that period, they started closing firehouses, and they used RAND's models to do so. You know, the problem was the models missed a lot of sort of key factors. You know, one didn't take traffic into account in New York City. You know, so as though you could respond as quickly to a, you know, sort of midnight response in Queens as rush hour in Times Square. They also didn't take into account population density and things like that. And it, essentially what happened was some of the busiest companies in the city were closed. And it, what they were missing was that sort of smell test, you know, from the chiefs on the ground to say, well, something isn't, you know, something's wrong with the models if you're saying close this company, close that company. And I think to the department's credit, you know, they're doing it's a conscious effort with the current closings to try to weed out some of the more irrational closings. And as I said, in the 70s, most of the companies closed were very high run numbers, very large numbers of fires that they were fighting. This list, with the exception of a company out in the Rockaways and a couple in the Bronx, the vast, almost all the rest of them are in the sort of lower half and lower quarter of companies, you know, in terms of being the, you know, the least busy in the city. You know, certainly there's going to be a huge impact, but this does seem to be a more sort of common sense approach.
But surely it isn't perfect or without bias.
Not by any stretch. You know, it always comes down to a game of politics, not necessarily sort of electoral politics, but, you know, I mean, a chief who's considered to be a borough commander who has a lot of influence is going to, of course, you know, probably have a little more say in how these things go down. And there's always going to be imperfections. And again, you know, we're talking 20 companies here, and it's not just fires, but, you know, the department right now responds to hundreds of thousands of medical calls every year. You know, as we know, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds in a heart attack situation or, you know, something like that, or there's a loss of blood or, you know, whatever the situation is, really is huge. I mean, there's almost no doubt that, you know, there will be lives that have been saved by these companies over the years and that, you know, as a result, with the lack of the companies, you know, that will be lost.
And isn't it possible, Joe, that using average response time is just not a good predictor of how a fire company will do in an actual fire or, as you say, in some of these other emergencies? You know, an average doesn't necessarily tell us how consistent a given company is in the case of an actual emergency, right?
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, what we have are, as you said, averages. But, you know, if a company, let's say a company averages a four-minute response, you know, to the 4,000 responses it goes to, does that mean that, you know, everything is between 3 minutes and 40 seconds and, you know, 4 minutes and 20, 30 seconds? Or does that mean, you know, sometimes they're there in 2 minutes and sometimes they're there in six? You know, that range is a big factor. The National Fire Protection Association, they used a different measure, which is how quickly do 90% of your responses get there? You know, they're not concerned with averages so much as what's the time that we can be there 90% of the time, you know, under, which is in a lot of ways a better measure.
Let's take a call, Joe, from Jack, who is in Sayville, Long Island. I believe Jack is a fireman. Jack, you're on WNYC. I thank you so much for calling in. You're on with journalist Joe Flood. We're talking about cuts to the NYFD.
Yes, I'm a member of one of the companies that they want to cut.
Please.
almost 26 years now.
Please go ahead.
Ladder 104 in Williamsburg is now noted as one of the international stops. People are coming from around the world. The population has swelled to about 125,000. Our response area is from about Driggs Avenue over to the river, north side, south side. They have put up, 15, 25-story buildings. There is a plan now for the old Sugar House. They have 1.5 million, a billion laid out for it. The start of the project, four buildings, two 30s and two 34-story buildings, 2,200 units. The response time would be exponential. The nearest companies, Union Avenue, it's Ladder 108, one of the busier companies in the city, but their area goes all the way to Onondaga Avenue, way into Bushwick, and for them to get from Onondaga all the way down to the river would take them 10 minutes minimum. Okay, that's just one point. The other point would be money. Always talk about the money. Apparently, say 10 years ago, the figures I heard was that the fire department generated $80 billion in revenue from violations. If you take away 10% of the firefighting force, you're taking away at least 10% of the revenues. Things like that.
I thank you very much for your call. And Joe, it sounds as though they just didn't speak to the chiefs on the ground, if what Jack says is correct, didn't speak to the chiefs on the ground about what's happening in and around his firehouse.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the difficulties of the way they approach this issue. Is, certainly from the statistical end, there isn't anything to factor in recent population growth, and as Jack pointed out, coming population growth. As they build more buildings, as these things get factored in, they're only looking backwards, not forwards. Presumably they talked to chiefs. These issues were raised at some point. One would hope, but again, it's difficult to say. I mean, we really don't have it is a bit of a black box a lot of these decisions were made. It's hard to say how it happened. That's being one of the big ones. Looking forward in terms of how population is changing, how fire risks are changing. It can be very difficult, especially in those areas like Williamsburg, which, did not have anywhere near the population, very recently they do now and will going forward.
And we still have to see if the city council is able to restore FDNY funding ahead of the June 30th deadline. Thanks to you, Joe Flood, for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, overcoming differences to create change through collective visioning.